Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next week at Charlestown Road. Roger, it's been a little while since we did this. We took a short break right after Thanksgiving, but it is great to be back behind the microphones with you.
It is good to be back. We hope you've missed us. We've missed you, and it seems like we've been gone longer than a week.
It does.
But it's just busy around here, and lots of things are going on. And this past week, Jason gave us a great lesson about vision. Now, what do you see? And we want to kind of kick that around just a little bit, talk about some things from that lesson that we can gain and kind of get some insights on. The lesson is on our website. We really encourage you, if you haven't watched that or listened to it, to go back and do that. That's just very helpful for us to do that. And so, Jason, why don't you just kind of walk us through the sermon a little bit? And then we'll go from there.
Sure. All year long, our theme here at Charlestown Road has been Now I See. And I have been thankful for the sort of theme that even though we've gone through a year like 2020, it is still relevant because, of course, it's built on the scriptures. We have focused throughout the year in a variety of ways on vision. And we're not talking about your physical eyesight or your ability to see what's around the corner of the future. We're talking about things that you can't hold in your hands or smell with your nose. But what the dictionary describes as a vivid conception of something immaterial. The sort of thing that Paul had in mind in 2 Corinthians 5 when he tells disciples, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so I spent a little bit of time on the front end of the sermon just getting us to think about what happens in our lives when we don't have that sort of spiritual vision. The Proverbs especially are full of warnings about how easy it is just to wander around aimlessly in life and get sluggish and reckless and eventually stumble and maybe just stay down when we're already down, because there's nothing compelling necessarily to get us back up and to start heading in the right direction. And so, having established the need for vision, I used a recent chapter of our daily Bible reading. I compared Colossians chapter 1 to corrective lenses provided by God. And you could do this with so many chapters in the Bible, but I just followed Paul's lead in using Colossians 1 to emphasize things that we ought to see as Christians. Grace and peace from God our Father and hope laid up in heaven. The fruit of the gospel, knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom. How to walk in a way that pleases God. Strength for endurance and patience with joy. The opportunity to be reconciled and placed as citizens in the kingdom of light. And finally, there at the end of Colossians 1, the greatness of the riches of the hope of glory. And it's just one chapter in the Bible, but I love how you can just walk through that chapter and God, in God-breathed material like that, helps us to see through the fog, or I described it on Sunday as a sandstorm, in a year like 2020. God wants us to be able to see, and He helps us to see in His Word.
And we use different words to describe that concept, the idea of insight, the idea of being enlightened, to observe or to understand. Sometimes in a conversation when things are not going well, someone will say, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about, like you said, the vision with our eyes. We're talking about grasping that concept. Jesus brought this up in Matthew chapter 13 when he was going through a series of parables. he would say in Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, again, he wasn't talking about their literal eyes. It wasn't like they were standing around a group of blind people or a group of deaf people. He's talking about this insight, this understanding, this spiritual grasping of what he was teaching. Some of them were getting it. A whole bunch of them were not getting it. And so that's why Jesus said, your eyes are blessed because they do see. And that leads us to just starting off a great question, and that is, why do some see and why do some not see? There are multiple examples we could look at. For instance, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 7, we have this story told to us, and we can just visualize this story so well. It starts in verse 6, says, for at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice. Here's a guy today, we'd say, maybe at the kitchen sink, looking out the window. And I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through through the street near her corner, and he takes to the way of her house. He's seen this young guy walking down the street, and he's about to make a terrible mistake. And we see that all the time. We see that sometimes with marriages. We see that sometimes with finances. Here's a guy who's just spending, and we say to ourselves, he's going to wind up bankrupt because he's not seeing what he's doing. And so a great question for us is, how do some see, how do some not see, and more importantly, how is it that you and I can see?
Yeah, there are several answers you could provide to that. I think you've already hinted at one there in Proverbs 7, just this naivete, right? This young man who is uninformed, he is inexperienced, and you read the first few verses of Proverbs, and the mission statement is, I'm giving you this wisdom so that you would know, so that you would understand how the world works, that you would increase in knowledge and discretion. That was the goal of Solomon as he spoke with his son in Proverbs. That ought to be the goal of every parent, right? Not to send their children into the world as completely clean slates, but children whose hearts have been shaped by the wisdom and the will of God. I would add to that some are blinded by their own pride and selfish ambition. I think you definitely see that, for instance, in the Kings and Chronicles of the Old Testament, where we have prophet after prophet who comes, and these kings who will harden their hearts and boldly proclaim to the prophets, we're not going to listen to anything that you say. We see in the New Testament, in the life of Jesus, there were Pharisees who were blinded by their jealousy. We see King David, even a man after God's own heart, blinded by his own lust. The variety of different things that can blind us, and I think that's worth talking about on an ordinary Wednesday in the middle of the week, because listen, if that can happen to David, if that can happen to a man like Saul of Tarsus, if that can happen to men and women that we read about throughout the Bible, we are absolutely foolish to believe that it can't happen to us.
And we would throw in that list Solomon himself.
Oh, yeah.
The book of Nehemiah ends by talking about how the foreign wise took Solomon's heart away and he worshiped idols. Solomon is looked upon as the smartest man in the Bible. And so we started looking at these great men of the Bible, smart, strong, powerful, and they just didn't have the vision that they ought to have. Back to our Matthew 13 passage, in verse 15, Jesus quoting from Isaiah says, for the heart of this people has become dull, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. That little phrase, they have closed their eyes, lets us know that these are choices that they've made. This is not a gift that some have and some do not have. This is not God lets some people see and God closes. This is not God's plural, but this is us. And so the choices we make determine whether we can see or not. And so some of this is going to be what we fill our lives with, what we do throughout the day. Are we simply earthly minded? Are we ever thinking about God? Are we reading God's word? Are we focused upon the spiritual? Just a heaven-based perspective will close our eyes to things. And again, those are some insights that will help us.
Yeah, I think of, you know, a newborn, a baby that opens his or her eyes for the very first time, and how overwhelming that is. I obviously can't remember doing that personally, but if you have your eyes closed for a very long time and then immediately open in a crystal blue sky with a bright sun, it's going to be blinding for a moment, right? It's going to be piercing. And we see that in the lives of various people in the Bible, that when I first have my eyes opened, maybe it is a very uncomfortable sort of experience, but what I do next is going to depend upon the condition of my heart, the choice that I want to make. God is not wishing that any of us should perish, but that all should reach repentance, turning around our lives. And I can't do that for anyone. No one can do that for me. That's a choice I have to make.
And when we start getting that spiritual vision, our eyes start opening up, that's where we're at the crossroads of life. Yeah. Some people don't like what they see, or some people don't like what that means. That means I have to make some changes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make these changes. And so I close my eyes. And out of sight, out of mind is what we sometimes say. And so I don't think about God, and maybe there's not going to be a God. I don't think about death, maybe there won't be a death. I don't think about heaven or hell, maybe that won't be. And so I just close my eyes, because if I open them, that means I've got to do something.
But even just putting it that way, doesn't that show us how foolish and short-sighted that is? What that reminds me of is a little toddler that puts a blanket over his head, believing that, you know, mom and dad across the living room can't see him. That's not the way real life works, and that's not the way our spiritual lives work. There are no secrets in God's universe. We all must give an account to him.
And we will stand before him.
Yeah.
Now, in your sermon, you also reveal some statistics, and I want to kind of go back over those. I thought those were very revealing. And again, it fits in with what we're talking about, because some see and some don't see.
Yeah. From Colossians 1 and verse 2, I love the phrase, grace and peace to you from God our Father. God is the active agent there, right? We know what God wants. He wants to extend grace and peace to people of all ages throughout time. And so I bounced off of that phrase and just encouraged the audience to think about everything that has come to you in 2020. There's been a lot of good news. There's been a lot of bad news. There's been some sad news. There's been frustrating news. There have been hours and hours worth of advertising. There have been responsibilities that have come to us. There have been adjustments that have come to us. In fact, Roger, we'll talk a little bit more about that this Friday, making adjustments in a year like this. All sorts of things that have come to us. Now, what do I see? On what is my mind set? And I went from there to, okay, in 2020, we know statistically, sociologically, how many of the people around us are dealing with all of those things. You do a little bit of homework and you find that over the course of the first 11 months of this year, alcohol consumption is up an estimated 50%. What I found just to be staggering was online sales of alcohol are up more than 250%. Pornography use is increased an estimated 40% just over 2019. We see, in the midst of all of this unease and tension, how some are trying to deal with it, but we know from the pages of Scripture that is not how God would have His children deal with all of these challenges.
I particularly like how you said these were staggering, especially when you talk about alcohol.
Oh, yeah. No pun intended, yeah. But yeah.
And so, again, to our lesson, we can find these statistics and we can say, okay, I see these people are making mistakes. Buying booze isn't going to make 2020 go away. And buying and consuming all this alcohol is not going to make the year go any faster or change it. It's going to numb me, but the problem's still there. It doesn't take away the problem. And so we see that in others. But sometimes we can make mistakes and we can't see it in ourselves. And so how do we see in ourselves what we can so easily see in others?
Yeah, I think we need the Lord's help, number one. Jesus taught us in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, how to pray, and at the heart of that prayer is the idea, praying to God that His will would be done. I think we can make that personal. God, Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. He teaches us to pray about being guarded from, kept from temptation. And it is only a few lines after that that He encourages His disciples to imagine this silly scenario. Why do you see the speck, we might say, you know, this little piece of sawdust in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? And he just comes right out and says, that's hypocritical. Now, I mean, it's one thing to see how the people around me statistically are slipping in trying to deal with all of the frustrations. I mean, intellectually, I know how foolish it is to drink myself drunk on New Year's Eve, expecting as I wake up on January 1st, 2021, to live in a different world. I mean, that's not how the world works, right? And yet, Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, says, okay, let's talk about what you know, and then let's talk about what's going on in your heart. If I am full of bitterness in my heart and an unbridled, self-centered anger, well, my neighbor who is passing each day drinking and drinking and drinking has a problem, but I also have an unresolved problem. And so step one, I would suggest, is I need the Lord's help in what He is talking to me, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, about my heart. Roger, what would you add?
And I'd add, you know, it's real easy to hold the radar gun at others.
Yeah.
And say, okay, that guy's going too fast, that guy's doing this is wrong, that's wrong, and wrong, that's all we see. And never to hold a mirror up. Because sometimes we look at everyone else and say, well, you know what, I'm not buying that liquor, I'm not doing that, and we just think, okay, that makes me better than them. And the emphasis is not be me compared to others, but where am I at myself with the Lord? Now, let's throw a couple more passages on this that deal with this idea of seeing. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Basically, what he's saying is we look at the invisible. And what I look at is God. What I look at is the things that really matter, like character and heart and love and righteousness. Another great passage is found in Hebrews chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He You see, sometimes we get our eyes fixed on the world. We get our eyes fixed on other people. And, oh, this coworker just drives me nuts. Or this neighbor here, can't stand this neighbor, can't stand what he's doing. Look at this guy, look at that guy. And what we needed to be doing is looking at Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, it makes us look at ourselves and think, okay, why am I not worshiping on Sunday? Why am I not reading my Bible? Why? And we what we do is we start holding the mirror up and start realizing I need to work on myself more than I work on others.
Yeah, I love that statement from Colossians chapter 1. We spent some time with it in the sermon, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. How powerful that our Creator has not left us just to stare at the heavens or to study a tree or to try and commune with a rock. He walked among us. We know in the flesh what the image of the invisible God looks like. Our task is to listen to Him and to follow Him and submit to Him and make the sacrifices He is calling us to make, and ultimately to trust Him. And what we will be led into is not just spiritual sight, but what Paul describes as the hope of glory.
It's hard to read the Gospels and read about the compassion of Jesus and not be compassionate. Mm-hmm. Hard to read about Him forgiving and then you not forgive. That's the bridge the gospel had. These are more than just stories about ancient people. We're not just reading about Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. We're reading about somebody that's not only alive, but somebody that changes our life. And that's the bridge we have to see. Back in Matthew 13, where we started with all this, the Lord, after He said in verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, He then said in verse 17, for truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So, two more questions we come out of this. First of all, what was it that the disciples saw that the prophets did not see? And what do we see?
Yeah, I think a simple way of describing that is they saw where the story was going, right? They saw the seed of Abraham. They saw the heir of David. They saw the servant of Isaiah or the righteous branch of Jeremiah. You just go on and on. All of these prophecies, promises about how the story was ultimately going to end, where it was all leading. The disciples saw the fulfillment of all those promises.
You know, and all the way back to Genesis, yeah. Not here in Matthew 13, but eventually they would see the head of that serpent crushed,
yeah,
as Jesus went to the cross and was raised. And so that's what they saw. They saw the fulfillment of the story. They saw the Messiah in the flesh. They saw God on earth. They saw the forgiving God. They saw the compassionate God. Now, what do we see?
Yeah. We see further than any of those people ever could. And, you know, it's interesting. That was the very first sermon I preached in 2020. I thought a lot about that in preparing for one of my last ones this past Sunday. I asked, you can go back and you can watch or listen to that on our website. I asked, second Sunday of 2020, how far can you see? And tried to emphasize that Abraham could only see so far. Moses could only see so far, but you and I, where we are in the history of God's plan for mankind, the Apostle Paul emphasizes toward the end of our New Testament, we can see now, Peter picks up on it as well, we can see now what angels could not see in the past because of what has been delivered fully once for all.
Which reminds us that we are truly a blessed people.
No doubt.
We've got the total picture here. We know how the story ends, not just with Jesus, because it never ends, but we know how the outcome comes as we get to the book of Revelation. Yeah. And so so instead of looking forward, we're looking back. We've got the whole picture before us. And so of all people, we ought to see more clearly. Of all people, we've got all these character studies in the Bible that can help us walk with God and be what God wants us to be. And so we should have a clear picture of what heaven is in our hearts. And so why some people see? Why do some people not see? It's the choices they make. And it's a desire to see what God sees.
It's a good reminder maybe today in the middle of the week to open your Bible and read. God helps us see as we open our hearts to His incredible Word. I appreciate you revisiting that with me. I was encouraged by the feedback from many who were in the audience in person, but also walking with us online. We're thankful for the team of workers that helps us to broadcast this to members of our church family who aren't able to join us in person right now. In fact, this evening, Wednesday, December the 9th, we will be broadcasting our midweek Bible study. Roger, you're going to be talking about the joy of heavenly citizenship.
And that comes from the tail end of Philippians 3 and the first verse of Philippians chapter 4, and where Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. So we'll talk about that and kind of look at that context. Love for you to join us at 7:30 this evening.
Seven. It's been a little while since we've done this, right? Yes. 7 o'clock tonight. It will be on charlestownroad.org, Facebook, YouTube, a variety of ways you can access that. Roger, you also have the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday.
Yes, and that will be at 9:30. And in person, if you can come. If not, it will be live stream. We're going to go to Matthew 24. It's kind of a difficult chapter. And we're going to talk about four truths in these challenging times. And as we unfold Matthew 24, the folks there who were hearing that message saw their world starting to come apart. And Jesus had four things for them to do. And I think it's very parallel to what we're going through today.
We will have a variety of ways that that is advertised, video, different posts that you can share. We would really encourage you to share that. If you're active on social media, let people in your sphere of influence know what's coming and the amazing resources that are freely available at charlestownroad.org. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope it has helped you set your mind on things above. We're looking forward to tonight and to this coming Sunday, the best day of the week. We hope that you will continue to grow with us.